Let's face it, football is a game of risks. Whether it's calling a trick play on your own five or bringing kale chips to a watch party. And while taking crazy chances like this occasionally may pay off, taking big unnecessary risks can mean real trouble, especially when you're gambling. So always know the odds and what you're getting into. Want more tips on how to keep gambling fun? Go to keepitfunohio.com, where you'll find interesting quizzes, fun games, and lots of effective ways to keep your gambling in check.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I'm joined by clinical psychotherapist and co-host of the Tough Love podcast, Stephanie Regan. Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
And we're going to talk about Christmas conversations, not particularly embarrassing ones or anything like that.
No.
Just trying to go with the flow and enjoy Christmas.
Yeah, just going with the flow, enjoy Christmas. And I suppose the reason I thought I would mention it is because a lot of rows happen over those simple, you know, conversations that get pulled up to the surface, or different situations from the past, or just plain maybe bad habits in terms of conversation. And I thought, well, let's just mention a few things. Like, people, if you haven't met somebody for a long time, it's a really good idea to try and, you know, ask them about something that they have been doing and be very specific about it. And it changes the direction of conversation. That's really what I'm saying. You can influence where conversation goes rather than just being a responder and being not happy with what's going on. So that's what this piece is about.
A lot of the time, people simply don't listen.
Yes. I think we have learned that people in general, research tells us that the listener is inclined to really wander away from the subject very quickly. And it actually takes a little bit of effort on your part, on everyone's part, to stay in the, you know, in the point. Listen carefully, attentively, and respond to what you hear. Don't try and move to the next point, if you like, or the next piece that could be happening. Let the person know that you can hear them by asking a more focused question. If you, like, as I say, for example, they're telling you about, you know, that they've got a new dog. Well, how did you choose that dog? It sounds an awful lot better than, oh, that's lovely. That's lovely is a kind of a shutting off of that line of conversation. So questions are an opportunity. And if you're in the responder position as well, I always think it's really important that people understand if somebody has asked you a question, that's a kind of a compliment. It's a way of opening conversation. And giving a monosyllabic answer is not the right thing to do. The right thing to do is say, oh, thank you for thinking of that. Thank you for remembering that I was getting a dog. You know, and you're giving, again, you're in an easy opening, because a lot of people struggle with these things, which is, you know, maybe for those who converse easily, it can be a surprise that it is difficult for others.
Now, if you're hosting a gathering and you notice that one corner of the room, there's hilarious and raucous laughter coming, and another corner of the room, everyone is kind of just shuffling around saying nothing.
Yeah, well, I think, you see, if you are the host or hostess, it is really up to you to keep a good eye on those kind of things. And it's absolutely, the host can absolutely move the attention to somebody in, you know, at the table or in the room, and, you know, include them in and say, you know, we haven't heard from you, Pat. I believe you were doing ABC. And then you can contribute. So you're invited in. But equally,
you know, yes. you should do your research as well, because, you know, if all your guests arrive, whether it's for a drinks thing or whether it's for a formal sit down, and you know that someone is going to say to Dennis, oh, Dennis, how is Marge? Knowing that Dennis and Marge have split up in the previous year, but not everyone knows that.
Correct. So you have to be, well, you have to be mindful, don't you, of your guests in that sense. And to help with the embarrassing moments. So it's important to know, if you're asking a question like that, you've got to know the score. But equally, if you make a mistake, that's kind of okay too, isn't it? Just to say, oh, I'm so sorry, nobody told me that and I did not know that. I hope I haven't upset you with that question. That's fine. But I think that people, sorry, excuse me, I seem to have a frog in my throat.
I had it last week, Stephanie. It's in the air at the moment. It's in the
air. Okay, good, good. But just to say, I suppose this point about being able to be a topic manager and move the conversation around, you too can do that. You don't have to be the host or the hostess. You can simply move the subject. And if somebody is asking you about something that you don't want to talk about, you can very nicely say, look, thank you for asking about that, but you know, I'm not going to go into that at the minute. You can move on, or you can just say, could I instead ask you about? So I'm really just saying, feel empowered. be empowered. Don't let the conversation slide down the slippery lane of, you know, politics or something bad that happened or old family dramas or old things that have hurt people. Try and move it on to the fresh, new topics of the day. Mm. And that keeps us in a very good place at the table, in the room. And I think often with drink on board, as we know, a lot of squabbles happen at Christmas and we can avoid them, I think, by keeping the conversation light, keeping the conversation moving around so everybody gets a chance, because we all know some people are loud, some people are very, they're the joke teller, as I say, they always tell the jokes, but it's really important also to create space for the people who just aren't so extroverted and aren't so loud, and they have a lot to say too.
Now, telling jokes, I mean, some people repeat the same old jokes year after year. And in our case, you know, we tend to celebrate the fact that we've heard joke number 51 again.
Yes.
We laugh at it. You know, here we go again.
Yes,
the same old
story.
We laugh at the repeat. But there are people who hog the conversation and who make most noise at the table. Should you try to shuffle the pack? In other words, okay, we're sitting down, there's 20 of us at the table. One end is having great fun. After the starter, we shuffle.
I think it's a great idea, personally. I would always shuffle. I mightn't do it after the starter, but I might on a Christmas if it was a big number. But I think certainly after the main, to shuffle and ask, you know, two people to move forward or up or down is really, you have to work that out. Otherwise, you shuffle everybody. So you have to work it out before you do it. And the other thing, if I may say, you know, so I think shuffling, I'm all for it. I think it's a really good idea. Gives people a fresh beginning. And it also means that more of your guests have a more intimate conversation with the one, you know, with more people. So it's nice. But I think the other thing that's very, very useful, and I have used this in a fun way, and that is icebreakers. Now, I know we think of them in terms of training and all of these things, but putting a joke or a question or something like an icebreaker, as we call it, and stick it underneath the plates. You can use them then if you need them. That can be a very useful way to keep conversation light.
What sort of things now would you put under the plate?
Well, for example, it depends on your group. You, like if they're a young group, they'll do all sorts of quirky stuff. But if it was, say, where you have a mixed generation, which we usually do, certainly at Christmas, I would think of something like, you know, what is the worst advice you've ever been given? And let that person then tell that story.
Okay.
So it's a very good way of getting the quieter ones to get involved. Another would be, what is the best advice you ever get? Or tell me about something in your life that went really well, but you never thought it was going to. Now, I wouldn't be asking them to tell me big sad stories, but it's a way of inviting the quieter person in a way that they really have something firm to say. They don't have to sort of make it up. If people are shy, they do find it hard to operate in that sort of a short space of quick fire talk.
Yeah.
So giving them something like that.
So you go around the table with that question, you know, what's the best moment, worst moment of your life, most memorable piece of advice. You say, if money and time were no object, what would you be doing right now? That's one suggestion. You'd hate to hear from the rest of the table. I wouldn't be here.
when I wrote that, I immediately thought that. Well, maybe that's one now I might review. Because you don't want people to say, well, I wouldn't be at this table. That's not what I would be doing. But I think if money and time were no object, what would you spend your day on? I think that's in general, because I think it's a really important question for people. You get a sense of where their real desire is in life. What they would have hoped for, you know, what did you dream about, you know, what did you dream you would be, you know, when you were 10 and how much of that has come true? You know, like little things like that. I think across generations, that makes for good conversation at the table. Instead of trying to find, you know, if you're stuck and the conversation isn't flowing, I think that's quite a nice thing to do.
Now, two contrary views here from listeners. What sort of friends or family need to be orchestrated like that? Just go with it, says one. But Ken says, as someone who isn't great at making conversation, I heavily rely on leaning on the other person's conversation topic by asking specific questions and drawing it out as long as possible. And that works a treat.
Well, that's very interesting. And that person is clearly saying they find it difficult. So they are leaning on the question and the focus question, which is good. But it does mean they're always a responder.
Yeah, well, so, Dale says, organize fun. I can think of nothing worse.
Well, I'm not saying organized fun. What I am saying is it can be helpful. You can take any of these. They may not be for you. And of course, I'm all for go with the flow. But I think that sometimes if you have very tense situations at Christmas where you know somebody who is inclined to overdrink, or you know somebody is at the table who is had a very difficult year, or and you give it some time, but you don't want it to be the whole time. That's really where I'm focusing.
Claire says, could I ask people not to be constantly bringing things back to themselves? It seems to be the norm these days, and it's so boring. You know, now what about you? What do you think of me? That kind of thing.
Yes.
We used to always say Christmas Day wouldn't be the same without the annual row. That's from Dorothy. So there you go. Anyway, certainly you have prompted a good conversation. So maybe they'll have conversations about conversations.
Exactly. Pivot the conversation.
Stephanie, thank you very much for joining us. That's Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist and co-host of the Tough Love Podcast.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Curb your cravings this winter with My Mochi Ice Cream. Rich, creamy, premium ice cream wrapped in sweet, soft dough. My Mochi Ice Cream is gluten-free and comes in tons of amazing flavors like strawberry, mango, double chocolate, and cookies and cream. Your taste buds won't believe it's only around 70 calories per piece. Indulge in the joyfully chill flavors of My Mochi Ice Cream today. Look for the purple box of My Mochi at Target or visit MyMochi.com to find a store near you.